Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Scott Ellsworth's Midnight on the Potomac is a narrative history of the final year of the American Civil War, the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, and the political and social transition that followed Union victory. Rather than treating 1865 as an inevitable endpoint, the book emphasizes uncertainty battlefield reversals, war weariness, the 1864 presidential election, covert Confederate activity, and the unresolved meaning of emancipation. Ellsworth, a historian and nonfiction writer, known for works on American race and public memory, combines military, political, social, and espionage history in a broad account aimed at general readers as well as Civil War enthusiasts. The book places familiar figures such as Lincoln, Ulysses S. Grant, William Tecumseh Sherman, and John Wilkes Booth alongside less frequently foregrounded participants, including soldiers, formerly enslaved people, civilians, and female war correspondent Lois Adams. Its purpose is not only to recount the war's end, but to show how fragile national survival remained until the last moment. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the final year of the Civil War as an unresolved national crisis. A central strength of Midnight on the Potomac is its refusal to frame the last year of the Civil War as a simple countdown to Union victory. By 1864, the Confederacy was weakened but not yet defeated. Union casualties were enormous, and Northern morale was vulnerable to political exhaustion. Ellsworth uses this period to show that historical outcomes often appear more certain in retrospect than they were to participants. The continuing fighting in Virginia, the pressure on Washington, and the national anxiety surrounding the election all reveal a country still at risk of fragmentation. This approach changes the emotional and analytical frame of the war, instead of treating Appomattox as the natural conclusion of superior Union resources. The book highlights contingency military decisions, public opinion, leadership under stress, and the willingness of ordinary people to persist. The final year becomes a test of institutions as much as armies. Ellsworth's emphasis on uncertainty also helps explain why the assassination of Lincoln was so destabilizing. It occurred not after a settled peace, but at the edge of a fragile transition. Secondly, Lincoln, the 1864 election, and the politics of wartime legitimacy. The book treats Abraham Lincoln not only as a moral symbol, but as a political leader operating under severe democratic pressure. The 1864 election mattered because it tested whether a nation fighting for survival could still conduct a meaningful constitutional transfer or renewal of authority. Lincoln faced military frustration, criticism over emancipation, public grief over casualties, and the possibility that voters might choose a different course before the war was won. Ellsworth's focus on this moment underscores that Union victory depended on political legitimacy as well as battlefield success. A president could command armies, but he still needed public consent for a war whose aims had expanded from restoring the Union to destroying slavery. This dimension distinguishes the book from accounts centered primarily on generals and campaigns. It asks how democratic government functioned under existential strain. Lincoln emerges as a figure balancing principle, pragmatism, public communication, and military urgency. The survival of the Union is therefore presented as both a constitutional achievement and a military one. Thirdly, Confederate covert action and the wider context of the Lincoln assassination. One of the book's most distinctive elements is its attention to Confederate clandestine activity in the North and its connection to the atmosphere surrounding the Lincoln assassination. Ellsworth discusses plots, spies, secret agents, and acts of sabotage, including the Confederate attempt to burn New York City, to show that the war extended beyond formal battlefields. Within this framework, John Wilkes Booth is presented not merely as an isolated pro-Confederate actor, but as someone whose actions should be considered alongside Confederate secret networks and long-running efforts to destabilize the Union. This is a significant interpretive move because popular memory often reduces the assassination to a single fanatical individual. Ellsworth's argument, as described in available summaries, draws on overlooked scholarship and contemporary accounts while placing Booth in a broader world of conspiracy and irregular warfare. The practical effect is to make the assassination appear less like an abrupt epilogue and more like part of the war's final violent logic. The book does not need to erase individual responsibility to show that political murder can grow from networks, ideology, and wartime desperation. Fourthly, a broader cast that includes soldiers, enslaved people, civilians, and Lois Adams. Midnight on the Potomac broadens the conventional cast of Civil War history by combining national leaders with people who experienced the conflict from less commanding positions. Lincoln, Grant, Sherman, and Booth remain central, but Ellsworth also highlights common soldiers, formerly enslaved people, Northern civilians, and Lois Adams, described in source material as an intrepid female war correspondent. This wider lens matters because the war's final year was not shaped only by decisions in cabinet rooms or headquarters tents. Enslaved African Americans who fled plantations, aided Union forces, and asserted freedom helped transform the conflict from a war of preservation into a struggle over national rebirth. Soldiers and civilians reveal the human cost of military strategy and political delay. The inclusion of a female correspondent also points to the role of observation, reporting, and public interpretation in wartime culture. By using a diverse set of perspectives, the book resists a narrow great men account without dismissing the importance of leadership. Its narrative method suggests that historical turning points are produced through the interaction of policy, combat, witness, migration, fear, and collective action. Lastly, Rebirth After Union Victory and the Unfinished Meaning of Emancipation. The subtitle of Midnight on the Potomac points beyond military surrender to the rebirth of America. And that framing is important. The end of the Civil War did not simply restore the old Union. It forced the country to confront the destruction of slavery, the status of formerly enslaved people, the future of federal power, and the meaning of citizenship after mass death and rebellion. Ellsworth's narrative. As indicated by the book's public descriptions, links battlefield victory to social transformation, especially through the actions of African Americans who freed themselves and contributed to Union survival. This emphasis prevents emancipation from appearing as a policy handed down from above alone. It also clarifies why Lincoln's assassination carried such historical weight. It removed the central political figure at the beginning of an uncertain Reconstruction. The book's idea of rebirth is therefore not sentimental. It is a description of a nation remade through violence, law, military success, black agency, and unresolved conflict. The final year becomes the hinge between war and the difficult project of defining freedom in practice. In conclusion, Midnight on the Potomac is best suited for readers who want a Civil War history that combines narrative momentum with interpretive breadth. It will appeal to general readers seeking an accessible account of the war's final year, to Lincoln readers interested in the assassination, and to Civil War specialists open to a synthesis that places espionage, politics, emancipation, and battlefield events in the same frame. Its intellectual benefit lies in its challenge to inevitability. The book encourages readers to see 1864 and 1865 as unstable, contested, and politically dangerous, rather than as a predictable march toward Union triumph. It also helps readers think more carefully about how public memory simplifies complex events, especially the assassination of Lincoln and the role of Confederate covert operations. Compared with many Civil War books that focus narrowly on campaigns, leaders, or the assassination alone, Ellsworth's work stands out for its integrated scale. It moves from the White House to Virginia battlefields, from secret networks to civilian fear, and from famous commanders to enslaved people who acted for their own freedom. That combination makes the book valuable as a study of national crisis, not merely a chronicle of the war's closing scenes. If you would like to support Scott Ellsworth, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.